Merry Christmas. Did you have a good time? Yeah, it's been a good week. We, as I'm sure many churches, we've sent out half our church on mission trips to all those pagan lands everywhere where they've gone to visit their families. And so we're a little bit light this morning. I read a tweet this morning from a pastor friend of mine who was kind of chiding folks for not holding church services today. And I agree with him. I think, my goodness gracious, just because we all know the attendance is going to be down, there's no reason not to have church services. So for all those congregations in Pflugerville who may not be having church services this morning, welcome, if that's you. We're glad to have you here with us. We have been spending the month of December looking at some of the basic elements of Christmas and then going back and comparing the way we do things today to the original Christmas and kind of comparing them and seeing what we can glean out of that. For those of you who have been here, you know we've looked at Christmas trees and Christmas carols. Last week we looked at Christmas decorations. This morning we're going to spend some time in the book of Matthew looking at Christmas gifts. Gift giving is the central theme of Christmas. And as I have done with each of these sermons in this series, I'm going to try to defend that statement before you hear this morning. When we think about Christmas gifts, I guess we, in this day and age, we think about Christmas shopping, and different people have different attitudes toward shopping. Sometimes that's a gender thing. I read about two men as Christmas approached who were out fishing, deep sea fishing, or fishing off the coast, and while they were out there, a storm came up, and the wind and the rain was so violent that it capsized the boat they were in while they were fishing, and they were dumped into the icy water, and while they were holding on to debris and everything, trying to stay alive, one of them turned to the other and said, "I know this is bad, but you got to admit, this is better than Christmas shopping." Getting a lot of baritone amens from all of you here. Not all Christmas gifts are found while Christmas shopping. This is an interesting story. Owen and Beth Williams moved into their new home in Washington 3 years ago. They quickly became close friends with their elderly neighbor. His name was Ken Watson. A year later, Beth gave birth to a little girl, and they named her Caddy. And she was such a delightful little thing that neighbor, Ken Watson, fell in love with her, and Watson kind of became her surrogate grandfather, and he devoted himself to her, doting over her all the time. 3 months ago, in October, Mr. Watson died, and of course it broke the heart of the Williams, who had become so very close to him, especially since Watson had just adopted their little girl. A few days after Watson's funeral, his daughter stopped by the Williams house with a large bag. The bag held 14 beautifully wrapped Christmas presents that he intended to give to Caddy. Watson had purchased them, and his intent, according to his daughter, was he was going to give Caddy a gift each year until she was 16 years old. Here's Watson, what he said. "I kept reaching into the bag and pulling out more presents. You could have knocked me over with a feather. It was quite something. Beth and I think it might have been nice, or it might make a nice Christmas tradition, to give Caddy a Christmas present from Ken every Christmas for the next 14 years. The issue is, we really need to open them now. Nobody wants to give a 15-year-old Duplo blocks." So he posted the story, what was going on Twitter. His intent was just to bless the hearts of people as they read the story. He wasn't sure whether or not he should open those gifts, and he wrote that in his tweet, saying that he thought maybe he should check them out and then rewrap them. And that way, she would have age-appropriate gifts each year. To date, of course, people responded to that. To date, more than 67,000 people have weighed in about the gifts, Williams said the majority of those responding voted for a lucky dip, meaning not opening the gifts ahead of time, just giving Caddy one of the gifts and not worrying about whether it was age appropriate. He said this, and I quote, "It will be a lovely way to remember Ken. We'll do one a year for the next 14 years. If she opens a box of Legos when she's 16, then so be it. It will be a great tribute to a man with a heart full of unconditional love." Isn't that sweet? That's been going on for the last 3 months. Well, gifts should be unconditional. Gifts should be a way of expressing unconditional love, just like Ken's were. As we think about Christmas gifts, I want to divide our thinking, as we have done over the last month, into these same three categories. The first category we've begun with, and I want to do it this morning, is today's Christmas gifts. Now, just remove any confusion. When we say that gift-giving is the central theme of Christmas, we are not talking about gift-giving as we understand that to be today. Gift-giving today has evolved into something that really has little or nothing to do with the true meaning of Christmas. Let me read our passage this morning. Or you know what, I may wait. Let me read this instead. This is an article picked up out of one of my periodicals. And I'm quoting, "In 1983, any of the Cabbage Patch kids," that's a doll for those of you who don't know, "any of the Cabbage Patch kids were the mysterious It toys, selling over 100 million to date. Most veterans of the great Cabbage Patch conflict of 83 are still confused as to what the fighting was really about. One reporter covering the madness said, and I quote, 'They don't walk, they don't talk, wet their pants, or grow hair. Most buyers can't express why this doll is so popular this year, and others can't explain why they want to buy it,' end quote. Then there was the great infamous 1983 Cabbage Patch Smackdown in Pennsylvania." I didn't know about any of this, did you all? "It culminated in the store manager warding off crazed parents with an aluminum baseball bat." Apparently that made the news. "Then the next huge Christmas toy was Tickle Me Elmo in 1996. People magazine reported that the Sesame Street character's doll filled the country with a kind of barbarian bloodlust. In Canada, an unsuspecting Walmart clerk almost met his doom when 300 customers stampeded at the sight of the Elmo doll he held. The clerk suffered a broken rib, a concussion, and a final knockdown blow with a white Adidas shoe. Clearly, the raw energy fueling the search for a perfect Christmas toy is something to behold. The It toys of Christmas will continue to come and go. An Xbox 360 was the rage in 2005. The Zuzu pet was to die for in 2009. In 2014, the dolls from the movie Frozen were what parents were hostile over. In 2016, it was the Hatchimals. Do you all know about this stuff? Am I just so old? The Hatchimals. In 2017, everyone was after the LOL surprise. I remember that, by the way. There's currently no prediction what or when the next It toy, Tsunumi, will hit. So apparently over the years, these Christmas gifts have been so important to people that they've gotten hostile about it. That's what it's evolved into, gift giving. I know those are extreme cases, but they do help illustrate just how crazy today's gift giving has gotten around Christmas. It's evolved into a bizarre ritual. Now, don't get me wrong. As we're talking about gifts this morning, there's not a thing wrong with exchanging Christmas gifts. There's no greater joy than watching the face of a small child as they see the gift you have given them. In fact, there's no greater joy than seeing the face of an adult loved one as they open the gift you've given them. I never will forget the look on Linda's face when I gave her a clock for Christmas. A clock. She's never let me live that down. Even white elephant gifts are okay most of the time. Some of you go to these white elephant gift exchanges and make enemies rather than friends. Gift giving has become a tradition. It's not what it was intended to be. It's not what it was in the beginning, but it's harmless as long as, with all the other things we've discussed, as long as we keep gift giving in proper perspective. In the midst of it all, let's remember that it isn't even close to what it's supposed to be. So now let's look at original Christmas gifts. And you know where I'm going with this. Let's look at the passage now together. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, wise men came from the east, arrived unexpectedly in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who was born King of the Jews? For we saw a star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was deeply disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. So he assembled all the chief priests and scribes of the people and asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem of Judea," they told him, "because this is what was written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, because out of you will come a leader who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly summoned the wise men and asked them the exact time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and asked, "Go and search carefully for the child. When you find him, report back to me so that I too can go and worship him." After hearing the king, they went on their way, and there it was, the star they had seen in the east. It led them until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed beyond measure. Entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and falling to their knees, they worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. At a women's Bible conference, the group of women were asked how things may have been different if it had been wise women instead of wise men who made the trip. The general consensus was that women would have asked for directions. They would have made it to Bethlehem on time. They would have helped with the delivery, cleaned the stable, made a decent meal, and brought more practical gifts. Well, I don't doubt that, but practicality of gifts was not the point. That is not what these men were trying to achieve. Gold, incense, and myrrh were not practical. It was a Far Eastern custom and regarded as great importance that if one went to visit a superior, they took gifts, and expensive gifts. Well, these men were coming to visit what they knew to be a king. All the signs were there. A king had been born. They were coming to visit a king, and so they were not bringing practical gifts like a clock. They were coming to bring riches to King Jesus. The opening of the treasures there in verse 11 probably meant they presented Jesus with treasure chests that needed to be opened by these men, and presented him with gold and expensive incense and myrrh. These were very rich gifts. They weren't practical at all. These were very rich gifts. They were giving these gifts to Jesus, who was a king. So as we think about Christmas gifts this morning, let's recognize that the earliest gifts were not given to family or loved ones or dear friends. The earliest gifts were given to a king, Jesus. It's all right to give gifts to family and loved ones this Christmas as long as our first and our best is given to Jesus. Do you know why? Look at me. Jesus is still the king. There's a lot in the news about the presidency of the United States. There's a lot in the news about heads of state all over the world. It's a controversy everywhere. Queen of England. But let's remember and recognize that Jesus is king over all those people. Regardless of who becomes president in 2020, Jesus will have authority over them. Jesus is still the king and will always be the king. So our first, our best, our foremost should not be given to family and loved ones, although they're very, very special, but our best should always be given to King Jesus. King Jesus, the treasures of our lives. Finally, let's look at the most important Christmas gift. I began this morning by telling you that gift-giving is the central theme of Christmas. This is what I'm talking about. What was the most important Christmas gift? It was nothing ordered over Amazon. And it wasn't a treasure chest filled with kingly bounty. You know, our garages and attics get filled with so much treasure. Linda and I spent a good part of yesterday trying to arrange all this treasure. We threw about half of it away. It was out there in the attic and the garage. Mike Phillips, the former vice chairman of the Bank of California, became repulsed by what he called the monster of more. He became so repulsed that he took drastic action. He reduced his inventory of personal possessions to just 250 items. Each kitchen utensil counts as one item, just to give you an idea of how strict he was with it. The house counts as two items. But everything else, every piece of clothing, every book, everything else in the house counts as an item, and he's committed to only having 250 items, to own only 250 items. He may have been influenced by Mother Teresa, the late Mother Teresa, who said, if it takes you longer than 15 minutes to collect all your stuff, you've got too much stuff. You've got too much stuff. 250 items. In fact, every time he purchases a new item, he has to get rid of an item to keep his inventory of 250 items. The God of stuff. I'm not suggesting that we live a life of poverty or embrace Michael Phillips's philosophy of only 250 personal possessions, but I am suggesting that we really do need to allow all personal possessions to pale in comparison to the most important Christmas gift. You know what it is? The most important Christmas gift is Jesus. It's Jesus. Jesus himself is the most important of all Christmas gifts. The most important Christmas gift wasn't given by one man to another, and it wasn't given by the wise men to Jesus. The most important Christmas gift was given by God to us, to you and me, and his name was Jesus. We received the most important of all Christmas gifts. It was Jesus our Lord who came on that night. That means God not only created us, he thoroughly understands us, he's watched us and monitored our pilgrimage, and in his wisdom, he has diagnosed exactly what our greatest needs are, and he has given us a gift that completely meets all our needs. Jesus. Jesus meets all our needs. We labor over buying the perfect Christmas gift for our loved ones. We labor over buying a Christmas gift that meets all the needs of our loved ones. God labored over each of us. He thoroughly understands each and every one of us, all of our character, all of our personality, all of our desires. And he labored over all of his knowledge of us and gave us the perfect Christmas gift that meets all our needs. And that Christmas gift is Jesus. Jesus meets all of our needs. All of our needs. You know, if you're still empty and fearful and discouraged and disillusioned, it may be because you've never received God's great gift. Think about this. If God gave his greatest gift to meet all of our needs, if we're going through life empty and disillusioned, if all our needs are not being met, it may be because we've not received the greatest of all of God's gifts, Jesus. Right? Tell me something. Are you trusting Jesus? It's a little bit different. I'm not asking, have you trusted Jesus? That has such a one-time, long-ago sound to it. I'm not asking if you've trusted Jesus. I'm asking, are you trusting Jesus? Are you living your life day by day, event by event, hardship by hardship, catastrophe by catastrophe? Are you living your life trusting Jesus today? Are you receiving God's great gift, the Savior of the world, Jesus? Are you following Jesus right now? And is there evidence in your life of that? Because if God's greatest gift, Jesus, has been given to us to meet all our needs, then all your needs are being met and you are one happy person. I'm not saying you have no problems in your life. I've got problems. I'm not going to tell you what they are. None of your business. And I don't know what the problems are in your life. But Jesus said, in this world, you'll have tribulation. Isn't that what he said? In this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Can you finish that for me? I've overcome the world. Jesus says, I'm bringing to you in my very personhood, I'm bringing to you everything you're going to need in life to overcome the tribulations. That's God's great gift to us. That's God's great gift to you. The greatest gift, the greatest present given in the history of mankind is Jesus. I pray you're receiving it. Let's bow our heads.